This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
To Hump Day here on the show, Kate Delaney. Boy, a lot of different things to talk about. Of course, politically speaking, the key moments that are happening are, especially when it comes to our relationship with Russia, that's what's going on coming off of this overseas trip for the president. And coming up on our next show, we're going to really slice and dice what does that mean for us, because that's what this show is about. It's about your backyard and mine. What are we talking about? How does it affect us here in the United States of America? And what are the repercussions for some of the deals that potentially are being made? And I said this the other night, is there any teeth in it? Is there any accountability in this? Some of it what you might like, and is some of it something that you think should even be on the table? So there's the big hint. That's coming up on our Thursday show. All right. In the meantime, we've talked about this way too much. Too many shootings in what I call the places, the inner sanctum. They shouldn't happen anyway, but in schools and in workplaces and in churches and on the street, just innocently going down the street and people, like in Austin, they're out on a Saturday night. Poor guy that's 25 years old is killed, and he's getting ready to get married, and he just happens to be visiting, and he's in the wrong spot, and that's what happens to him. He was visiting from Michigan, and he was going to marry his high school sweetheart. Just an awful, awful story. And then two dead and two injured in a workplace shooting in Alabama. Our friends in Alabama, somebody texted me immediately to let me know the other day when this happened. And, the suspect killed himself too, so he was found dead from the self-inflicted gunshot wound, apparently, and there wasn't any danger to the public. I mean, that's one side of it, but this happened about 50 miles south of Huntsville. The two injured employees were immediately, of course, taken to the hospital and treated, so that's the good side of this. But the company where it happened was the Mueller Company. It's a facility in Albertville, Alabama, is where the place is. And it's a company that, what they do, if you're curious, they distribute water and natural gas products. And they have 11 factories or facilities, whatever you want to call them, in the United States and in Canada. But it's we're left with the same thing. You know what? We're left with the big question mark that I hate. Why? Why? Why is this happening? And what do you do? And what do you do when you're in charge of security at a facility? What do you do with employees? Do people have to go through metal detectors, for goodness sake? I mean, just it's absolutely insane. It really is. All right, a couple of quick interesting stories that caught my eye. And one of them is this story, because we've got the Olympics coming up, and there's a lot of blowback for the people in Japan and Tokyo who don't want to see the Olympics because of the COVID numbers that they've seen spike. And there's this strange story. You always get at least a few of these. There's a runner, an Olympic runner, Shelby Houlihan, who says she was banned from the sport for 4 years following a positive test for steroids. And she says that she attributes that to eating a pork burrito. You know, you hear these stories about somebody eats the wrong thing but nobody believes it. And she said she was devastated when she was suspended from the Athletics Integrity Unit. It's an independent body that goes after doping. They that's their thing. And she tested positive for a banned substance. And she put out a post on Instagram that just exploded at the beginning of the week, that the burrito she ate before the test had pig organ meat, which she said can lead to a positive test. A study funded by the World Anti-Doping Agency, found trace amounts of that steroid that could be found in that kind of meat and warned about the possibility of a false positive. So the sad thing is the ban prevents the 28-year-old from competing in the upcoming U.S. Olympic trials and the Tokyo Olympic Games that I mentioned. So, you know, doping accusations and investigations have led to a lot of bans of athletes and even entire countries from competing, which we know, the two-year ban on Russia, so that they had. So she said she got something in the mail in January, at the end of January, informing her that a drug test she took in December tested positive. And when she got the email, she said she, like, read it 10 times, was shocked that she had tested positive for it because she, one, had never heard of it. And then what can she do after she learned of that test? Because you always wonder the other part of this, right? She put together a log of everything she ate prior to the week, and she said that they concluded the likely explanation was this burrito that she got and was eaten 10 hours before the drug test. And it was a burrito from an authentic Mexican food truck that was near her house in Beaverton, Oregon. Can you imagine? So all the things you do, all the work, all the prep. And she said she feels completely devastated, that she's completely angry, broken, confused, betrayed by the sport. She said she's poured her life into this because that's what you have to do to even get to that Olympic level where you're at the trials. And she said, I've never taken any performance-enhancing substances, and including what I'm being accused of. She did everything she said. She did everything she could to prove her innocence. She returned, you know, and returned to her sport, to try to return to her sport. And it included taking a lie detector test and hair samples and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the World Doping Agency did agree that the test proved that there was no buildup of the substance in her body, which there would have been if she was taking it regularly. So, I mean, even her coach called out the organizers that banned her and all that, saying it's unfair and that that this shouldn't be, that she's innocent. She's spent her entire career taken away. You know, it's been taken away from her for something she didn't do. And this is the Olympics, right? And she's had this dream. This is how it goes, because you don't get to this level if you are not dogged, if you are not focused. She's been focused on doing this since she was 5 years old. She started running when she was 5 years old. Winning an Olympic gold medal, that was on her mind. Being the best in the world, that was on her mind. And many people think she had a very good shot at representing the United States in a way where she could medal. But now, of course, that's gone because she's banned. And, I mean, that has to just be a horrible thing to leap over to the other side, all from, again, eating, of all things, a burrito, and then figuring out that what they put in the burrito and the authenticity of it, that's where you trace it to, and even showing that and having people discuss that she was innocent of it, of doping, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're very strict in the rules. That's that. There's no way, no how that she was going to find herself in a situation where she was going to be able to go to Japan and compete for the United States. So it's our loss. It's those gray areas sometimes that should be examined that aren't. And then there's other things that happen where you just shake your head and say, how could this be? All right, coming up next, we're going to hit the mailbag here on the show. So stay with us.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's dig in the mail, man.
All right, welcome to the mailbag. Once again, always full, 24/7. I know I say this all the time. Maybe I got to get another line, but you can send me your thoughts on anything we talk about in the show or something that you think I should talk about or something that's interesting happening in your backyard. Or, hey, you might want to tell us a great story. Let's get some fun stories from your neighborhood of things that people are doing. Because one thing that happened during the pandemic, I think people drew closer in reaching out to their neighbors, and neighbor after neighbor after neighbor started to help and realize what was happening, where somebody couldn't get out, couldn't go and get curbside pickup, needed help with something, even simple things like getting masks that were so, so important. So anyway, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Send me your thoughts on any of that, anything that comes to mind. All right, this one is from Bobby, who is listening to us in the great state of Oregon, and he says, "Kate, you know, it's interesting. I look at what's happening with COVID-19. A couple of days ago, you talked about what was going on in England, and it looked like everything was opening up, and then all of a sudden that variant, I think you said Delta, comes along, and Boris Johnson, the prime minister, decides, whoa, not just yet. But we're seeing that the state that seemed to close and really have tight restrictions on people is fully open. Can you imagine the people in California and how they must feel now at this point, because it's all new this week for them?" Yeah, Bobby, thanks for that. So, yes, your neighbors there in the West Coast, they lifted most of their COVID-19 restrictions on Tuesday as part of that big grand opening. So they're going to end capacity limits, physical distancing, and for those vaccinated, mask requirements. And this whole thing kicked in to effect on Tuesday. And so just the other day, and it allows vaccinated people to go without a face covering in most situations. That was so the opposite of particularly what was happening in California. Now, same thing, transportation, public transportation in hospitals, jails, schools, child care centers, all that is going to be the same. But otherwise no. Gavin Newsom, who still is the governor anyway, for now, indicated he's going to sign an executive order later in the week on workplace mask usage to clear up anything that's ambiguous. The only thing that remains is public health officials are going to measure the mega events, like with 5,000 or more people indoors or 10,000 attendees outdoors with vaccine verification required or recommended. And watching that will be fascinating. What are people doing? Are they, are they going to laminate their vaccine card? Are they going to wear it around their neck? Are they going to have to show it? I mean, how's that happen? Is this the requiring? Because that wouldn't be the honor system, the verification. So you notice I said that. That's the thing. So outdoor concerts, even, it looks like California is going to require that. And they're also going to stop limiting capacity and enforcing physical distancing at all venues. And then they've got this color-coded tier system for the counties, and that's what they came up with. You know, in California, 72% of adults and about 59% of all the residents have received at least one dose of COVID-19. That's the CDC data. And among all 50 states, California has the third lowest seven-day death rate per capita and the seventh lowest seven-day infection rate per capita. So I think that made a difference. All right, Bobby, I went pretty deep on that. Let's move to this one from Joe, who says, Kate, I heard the story that you talked about. I love that you're paying attention, by the way. Thanks, Joe. And the rest of you who are citing something I talked about. And I heard the story about Georgia and the tug of war over the mask and the guy coming back and being so upset that he shot the woman behind the counter. And I just, it's just stunning to me. Even if you got in an argument, even if you don't agree, you certainly have talked about that. We know that there was a tug of war over masks for a very long time and it's still in existence. Certainly grabbing a gun and shooting someone is outrageous, and taking someone's life or injuring them is absolutely something that we shouldn't be talking about in this country. I mean, I think how some people have dealt with a pandemic is maybe not shocking, but depressing. Luckily, I believe in the goodness in most human beings, so I like to think that what has really happened is it's brought the good out of most people. All right, I like that attitude. Yeah, I like to think the same way. You know, and I've heard this in the mailbag throughout the entire pandemic when it started back in March of 2020. I like to think that the goodness prevails in most people. And yes, we're going to always have people who will do things that just make you shake your head and say, how is this? Why is this happening? It doesn't make any sense. But then there's the other side of that, and it's the people who are good, and it's the people who walk away from a dispute over a mask at a grocery store, like in Georgia, what should have happened. You don't want to wear it, just leave. That's fine. Just go. Why get so hot? This is an innocent person who this is their regulations. What are they going to do? And instead, one person dies and two people are injured. And lives are destroyed, right? So, yeah, makes no sense. All right, here's one from Monica who says, Kate, I just started listening to the show a couple of months ago. I live in Connecticut, and I have a young child, so sometimes I'm up later in the night and I get to hear you at different times. And boy, I feel for you. I happen to catch you talking about the record temperatures, and I hope that what happened with that Texas electric grid doesn't happen again because of what's happening with the temperatures down there. And I guess there's all kinds of records in the West that are being shattered when it comes to heat. And even though, yes, we know that this time of year it can be vicious, I don't know that you ever quite get used to it. All right, I would agree with that, Monica. I think wherever you live, I've lived in every part of the United States. Oh, it's a dry heat. Oh, you know, hey, there's humidity, but there's so much indoor fans and even outdoors, giant fans. And I mean, people always make do with whatever it is, I guess, that you're in. But it's the common denominator, I said, that we all talk about weather, even with people in other countries. As you know, we on this show talk to so many different cool people that have written books in my author's corner, and in America, of course, Americans, but but also people in Australia and the UK and in other countries. And we always end up talking about the weather, what's happened in the weather. And they always ask me off the air, you know, what's the weather all over the United States? So record high temperatures. It's just this wild cycle. There's droughts. There's hot, cloudless skies. You know, that's when, you know, you look up. And so that increased evaporation of what little water is left in lakes and rivers in some parts of the western part of the United States. I've talked about Las Vegas a lot. The latest drought monitor that was released on June 10th categorizes a majority of the Southwest as extreme, experience extreme to exceptional drought conditions. Major heat on the way this week worsens the deteriorating outlook for the tail end of the week. I mean, here we are in hump day, and it's going to get even worse. And they keep warning people that, you know, if temperatures are going to be tied or broken, I mean, we're not talking about dismissing that this just happens to be a hot day. Excessive heat warnings are in effect for as far north as Montana. The National Weather Service, we have people listening there in Billings, is forecasting highs to surpass 100 degrees and shatter records that were set way back in 1918. So, you know, you look at the California Central Valley, they're saying the same thing, that they're going to see these incredibly, horribly high temps. I mean, Las Vegas tied its all-time high of 117 on four different occasions, the hottest temperature. I didn't realize this, and I was talking to our pal Jackie Basco about the heat there, but the hottest temp ever set in Nevada, 125 degrees Fahrenheit, whew, recorded in Laughlin. I've been to Laughlin in 1994. So, of course, through Twitter and all over the place, they're pumping out information to people about the weather, of just how hot, you know, it can be. And then think of the drought and the lack of water and some of what they're dealing with. That makes it very, very tough. All right, one quick last one. This one is from Chris, and Chris says, "Hi, Kate. I just want to say that thanks for the movie, Wreck. You mentioned something about going to see Cruella and that it wasn't necessarily just for girls or bigger women, chicks, a chick flick, that it was really interesting and fun and that your hubs liked it, and he's a manly man." I like how you said that, he's a man, because I used to say that he was a manly man. Yes, so I'm glad that you liked it. It sounds like you did. It is a good movie. It's the acting. It's always about how they pull the actors together. All right, once again, I said it at the top, mailbag, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
There's a guy named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why is this country spending more money on healthcare, by far, and ranking 50th in health and longevity worldwide? Doc believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and obtaining optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic pharmaceutical drugs that lead to side effects that require more expensive and toxic pharmaceutical drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies to our own destruction, no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our health and healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare, and I've joined forces with him to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit BrightSideBen.com and listen to Doc Wallach's deadly recipe lectures. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join our Brightside Ben team. Go to BrightSideBen.com. That's www.BrightSideBen.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden and Russian President Putin concluded their summit Wednesday with an agreement that allows each country's ambassador to return to the nation they're posted to, but little else concrete. In a press conference following the meeting, President Biden said he did bring up the issue of human rights violations with Putin, saying it's in the DNA of America to speak up when it sees them.
I also told him that no president of the United States could keep faith with the American people if they did not speak out to defend our democratic values, to stand up for the universal and fundamental freedoms that all men and women have, in our view. That's just part of the DNA of our country. So human rights is going to always be on the table, I told them. It's not about just going after Russia when they violate human rights. It's about who we are.
This is USA Radio News. The Delta variant of the coronavirus has now spread to over 80 countries. The World Health Organization says the variant first identified in India has been shown in some reports to be more transmissible and cause more severe symptoms. The strain now makes up about 10% of all new cases in the U.S., with some health officials warning that it could soon become the dominant strain in the country. Former White House Senior Advisor for COVID Response Andy Slavitt says people that haven't been vaccinated should be most concerned about that possibility. He tells CNN that the variant is like COVID on steroids.
If you haven't been vaccinated or you live in a community where there's a lot of people that haven't been vaccinated, this is a more virulent strain. This is like COVID on steroids. You can be around people for less time and still get exposed. So it's yet another reason why people should, if they haven't been vaccinated, should think about getting vaccinated. If you have been vaccinated, you've got very little to worry about.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Vanessa Leon-Met joins us, and she's written a book called Cockatoos in the Mangrove. She joins us from Australia right now. In fact, she's in Queensland, and she's written this book that I know will have such a great impact on so many people. The book is this poetry, special, special poetry that she pulled together. I don't want to steal her thunder. She's a social epidemiologist, and she joins us now from our virtual green room. Hello, Vanessa.
Hi, Kate.
So first of all, tell us about, for people who are thinking, ooh, social epidemiologists, tell us what you do.
Okay, so I look at data and how it all connects with social issues, and then I translate that into that translation into policy and funding and services, and you know, but yeah, so that's basically it in a very small nutshell.
So how does a social epidemiologist, and I get it, find her way into this world of poetry and writing this book that you so eloquently put together?
Well, for me, it was like, I see these numbers all the time. I see what's going on in people's lives in different populations. And I guess, like, and from my own personal experience, sometimes you think you're so alone. And then when you look at data and you look at numbers, you suddenly realize that other populations around the world have similar issues, but people don't know how to articulate it. And it's all so easy, you know, just let's grab the data and create an algorithm and she'll be right, mate. Everyone will be fine. But it's actually not like that, you know, and people know that. Anyway, so I was actually looking for a way to share that, my understanding of how I interpret data and my own experiences. And I was walking in Newtown in Sydney and I saw a sign on a pole, and it said, Women's Poetry Night at the Newtown Library. So I went to the library. I sat in the very back because I didn't want to be noticed or anything. I didn't want to participate much in poetry because I didn't know much about it. And in that process, or in that time there, two women that really stuck out in my mind stood up and read their poems. And one woman talked about domestic violence of a friend who, this friend of hers was experiencing domestic and family violence, and she took a life. And in the poem, she actually writes about how the woman takes a life, and she wished that her friend had told them. They all knew, but they were waiting. They didn't know how to, they couldn't put the pieces together. And she wrote this poem about it. And the second poem that really hit me was this woman wrote about heroin. And I've not experienced heroin, I wouldn't know, but when I listened to her talk, I just really felt like, wow. Oh, wow, that's what really goes on for people. And I walked away. I walked home. It took me 2 hours instead of catching the train. I walked home. And when I got home, I just decided, I had this thinking in my mind. I thought, people can resonate with poetry. People can interpret the world through poetry. Through poetry, you suddenly come to this realization that you're not alone, that you can get an answer. Like, you can read some poetry and go, oh, okay, that's what happened for them. This, you know what, maybe I can bring this together and understand this for me. And so that's how I came to writing Cockatoos in the Mangroves.
So for you, what was that experience like, you know, taking that long walk and then being affected by that poetry and then diving in and doing it yourself? I mean, I would imagine you went to all kinds of places in your mind.
And in my feelings. So, you know, you look at data and there's no feeling in data. You know, and you look at algorithms and maths and, like, it's like, oh, okay. You know, and then you suddenly, I'm in this space where I'm, like, fully in using creativity and connecting with my feelings and going right into my human side. You know, and like, I don't say that like I'm robotic or something like that, but when you spend your life looking at data and algorithms, you know, it doesn't talk back. You know, and all of a sudden you're in this space where, you know, I'm about to communicate with people that you know, I'm going to show them, like, this is how life is painted. This is that in that darkness of being human, there's light, and we can. But, you know, you can reach out and touch the light. Like, it's okay to do that, and it's okay to be in that dark space, but also knowing how you can navigate out. And so for me, when I was writing and coming to that space, I think it was about, you know, really connecting with who I was and understanding myself as a woman, as an Indigenous woman, you know, as an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander woman from Australia, you know, and thinking about my own identity in amongst it. Because when you write poetry, sometimes you write with such rawness and honesty that, you know, and you read it and you think, wow, that's what's going on for me at the moment. And somebody else reads your poem and they have a completely different interpretation. And, you know, like, I've had people say to me, oh, can I analyze one of your poems? And I said, yeah, sure. And these are artists and they've got my poem and they're analyzing it. And I'm sitting there thinking, that is not what I was thinking when I wrote that, but I'm good. I'm okay with that.
Because that's the idea, isn't it, right? You put it out there and everybody may take a different piece of it, maybe even surprise you and take something away from it that you weren't expecting in a good way.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, because a lot of my poetry I write from that space of social justice and human rights. And my whole aim of writing my book was to help people to heal. And through poetry. And I thought, if people can draw something from my poems that help them through the day or help them with a specific aspect of their life that they're going through, because they can read it and say, oh, you know what, that's actually a really good strategy, or that's a good tip, I like what she's done here, and take it away and use it for themselves, because that's, you know, and that's all part of that whole walking together on that path. And, you know, so, because the darkness in the world is just, oh, I don't need to tell you what it, you know, it's quite, at the moment, it's out of control.
But it is out of control. And so for your title, Cockatoos in the Mangroves, it's just so brilliantly done and written, and what followed that.
Did that pop out at you? Did that make you think? Because let's just say we know nothing about the poetry that's inside. Immediately what I think of is different colors, different shapes, different all kinds of things come at me when I think of cockatoos.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and so that the photo on the front of my book is in the that's in the Torres Strait in North Queensland, right up north. It's on an island called Moa Island, at a community called Poid, or a province called Poid, and or Adam is the indigenous term, and that is and the church is a sandstone church. And it was developed, you know, the church was built right back in the late 1800s, and it burnt down in 1917. They closed the settlement, and the church burnt, like there was a bushfire going through the island, so it wasn't deliberately burnt. And it was a bushfire going through the island, and they closed the settlement because of tropical diseases. And, and so my grandmother is buried there, and my great-great-grandmother.
Wow.
Is my great-great-grandmother was born there. Yeah, so traditionally my grandmother was born under a birthing tree
right.
near that church.
How
yeah.
cool.
And so, yeah, and so when I took the photo, like there's another island in the background, you know, and like the Torres Strait is there's all these little islands.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 240-odd islands. Yeah, and so the title, Cockatoos and the Mangroves, because I was just sitting there, I took the photo, and I was looking at the photo, and I thought, geez, I love that photo. That's going to look so good on my book. And I thought, right. And then I started thinking about it. And I'm sitting there, and I just heard a whole flock of cockatoos fly across. And I went, right, cockatoos in the mangroves. And I thought, right there.
You knew it. And you knew that's,
yeah,
that's what it was. And you can get
it. Yep.
You can get that book, by the way, on Amazon with all this wonderful poetry with meaning in it for sure. What do you hope people take away from reading your poetry, reading this book of poems?
Well, I hope that they, because it's about cultivating compassion. It's about, you know, put the living flame back into hope and happiness back into each other's lives. It's about understanding Indigenous philosophies in relation to earth and nature. Reciprocity for Indigenous people is about giving back to nature. It's not about you know, it doesn't take it out of the context of nature. Everything is within nature and the earth. And you know, so pivotal when we think about climate change and understanding what we need to do. And you know, and also I'd like people to take away, you know, it's okay to be human. And that the physical world and the spiritual world exist together. There's got to be balance. And we need to understand that. And, you know, the balance requires that normalization, normalizing integrity and reciprocity together. And so when people, I've got my book there. So when people take the key message, I guess, is to know that when life is exposed, it's actually okay to have that myriad of emotions, to walk in your own spiritual power, and to know that it's actually okay to be you, and healing takes time, and that's okay.
Healing takes time. It's the perfect place to end this. Pick up this book on Amazon. It will affect you, definitely. Vanessa, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
She's in our virtual green room right now, Ashley Cole. The book is called The Dirty Truth, Secret Obsessions 1. I know that I'm going to North Carolina in August, and this is sitting close to me so that I can save it and read it while I'm on the beach. It is the perfect kind of read for that, and really the perfect kind of read for anywhere because of the tale that is told in this book. I don't want to give away too much because I don't want to know too much. Ashley, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Ashley, what led you down the road of writing novels? How did you get there?
Oh, my goodness. I've been writing since I was 12 years old.
12?
Yes. So it started off with poetry, to be honest. And then that spun off into me wanting to write my own book. So I kind of played around with it for a while, won a few awards with the poetry. So I gained some confidence. And then from there, I was like, hey, I bet I could write a pretty awesome book. I have a great imagination. I have enough experience, right? So kind of just dabbled in it a bit, and then I had a friend read a script, like one of my scripts I was working on, and it blew her socks off. So that was all the confidence I need. I needed to move forward. I even had a few family members, you know, the ones that are brutally honest. I had them read it for me as well. And the feedback I was receiving was like, what am I? I'm sleeping on myself. So that's really what happened.
Wow. So you dive into this. You come up with the story. Where'd you get your inspiration for this story? I mean, it seems like the characters poured out of you. Did it feel like that when you were writing it?
It did. It was just way too easy. So I have so many friends, and everyone has their own story, right? And
right.
Then I have my own story, and then there's life, right? So that's really where the characters came from. They came from me. They came from people that inspired me. They came from things I've experienced and seen, just looking through my lens at other people's lives as well. So that's really what inspired the characters.
Yeah, so tell me about Naomi Archer. What's she like?
Okay. Naomi's pretty badass, but she's having a rough time right now. She's a newly divorced business owner. She has a son that's kind of having a hard time with the divorce and adjusting to things the way they are now. She is a clothing designer, wanting her career to take off. She's already in the local department stores, but she wants to take that extra step so she can feel like she made it. She's having a hard time adjusting to the divorce because her ex-husband is, you know, not as pleasant, you know, which is kind of what I've been seeing in life as well. There's a bit of me in Naomi, but there's also a bit of my friends that I won't share which is which. There's also a bit of people I have seen their experience as well. So they're all kind of thrown into Naomi being this badass that you're going to see her evolve into the book.
Yeah, what's really cool, too, is you take us this place, you know, you're talking about clothing and the shoe collection, and you're talking about the annual Paris Fashion Week. Yes. And just in my mind, it just popped in my mind with Sex and the City coming back and
right.
the excitement over fashion shows. I mean, it just pulls you in. Was it fun to write about that?
Yes, I actually am a huge fan of Sex and the City. So, yes, it was awesome writing about that. My pencil was going and I was just like, oh, and this, you know, and it just, it really inspired me writing about her.
So tell us, don't give away everything because I'm kind of just dancing around a few of the characters and a little bit of the storyline. Tell us about the story. If somebody met you in a bookstore and said, oh, you're the author of The Dirty Truth, Secret Obsessions 1, Part 1, mm-hmm. what would you tell them? What's it about?
I would tell them there was some drama, some love, and some suspense to look forward to. I would say that the main characters are Naomi and a sister she just found out existed, Chanel. I would say that Naomi lives in New York and she's trying to get her life together. And I would say Chanel is the sister looking in from the outside, a little bit envious because she didn't have the life her sister had. And I would say there were some supporting characters as well for both sides. And I wouldn't want to tell too much, but it gets fairly juicy. There's a lot to look forward to with all the characters in the book. They all have a very meaty characteristics in if I would say that Scarlett, she, without telling you too much, is one of the characters that is Naomi's best friend. And you're going to see their relationship build in something so that every woman I feel can relate to. And then you'll see what Chanel is going through in California. And I feel every woman will be able to relate to her when it comes to, like, just trying to rise above what society believes a woman should be right now. And just trying to adjust here and there without having to think about what does this person think about me because I had to sacrifice this to get where I am today.
Wow. And, you know, I'm thinking of Scarlett. There's always a best friend. And you were saying you take a little of this, a little of that. Do you have friends saying to you, hey, is that supposed to be me? Do people try to identify?
I have three friends because there's bits and pieces of everybody in there, and they have tried to pinpoint their characteristics in there.
Yeah, that could be deadly. I was thinking I'm working on a novel and I'm dancing around my friendships thinking, oh, if I go too far in one direction, they're going to absolutely think it's them and they're not going to like, and they're not going to like some of the characteristics, right? So they'll like some of it, but they won't like the rest of it. So you don't stop with this book. You're going to do book two and so on and so forth. And tell us where you are in that process.
So in book two, everyone's going to be excited because the characters really get a chance to grow and you get to see what's really going on behind the scenes in book two. And you're going to want to root for them. You're going to want to dig your nails in like, oh, I have her back. I'm rooting for her. Or what's going to happen with him? I can't wait to see what's happening in his story. So I don't want to tell too much, but two is where you get all the tea.
Ah, yeah, the backstory, because that's, you know, it's kind of like when you, it's funny I brought up Sex and the City, but it's kind of like when all of us, people listening, whether they watch Ozark or Sex and the City, the previous shows, or Friends just had their anniversary, it is about the story of the people and knowing more, isn't it?
Yes, because you want to know, so you can, you when you can relate, it just pulls you in. And that's where you're not like, oh, this is me. In book two, all of the people that were reviewing the book, they're saying, oh, I can identify myself with this character. And I think that's what's going to happen with everyone else.
Yeah, that's even, I was just thinking, even for lots of the men that are listening, Star Wars did that. I mean, that franchise is so big already, but they went back and dug out characters, and they just keep giving you more. So there is absolutely something to this. I know you started writing when you were 12. You told us that at the start of this, but did you ever think you would become the novelist you've become, that you're writing, you know, book after book?
I had no clue. I did not. I honestly, it was one foot, it was me taking a leap because I was so scared. I'm not going to be, like, I was behind the scenes with the poetry and I could just submit my poems and, oh, you win or you don't, right? Nobody really needs to know who the artist is. Your name shows up and that's the end. With the book, I'm having to push myself out of my comfort zone because I'm mingling with people and it's actually helping me to evolve even more as a person because I'm able to meet the people that are able to relate to my book. And I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. What's the ultimate dream for you with your writing?
Oh, I would love for my book to become a movie.
Ooh. Yeah,
and I think now it would be awesome.
Yeah, now there's more opportunity for that too. That's why I mentioned that. Like with streaming has become so popular that a lot of the Amazons, the Netflix, and so many of the others that are popping up are looking for material. So that will be the next thing, like taking it and taking the books and making scripts out of them and working on that. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, starting with The Dirty Truth, Secret Obsessions 1? What do you hope they take away from, you know, I get the book, as I said, keep it aside, going to read it, you know it, you're making time for it. What do you hope happens when people read your books?
I hope that they can find themselves in each of the characters and see that no matter where they started, they can always finish strong.
Ah, so there's this whole idea of the strength and the women, because a lot of female characters.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. I love it. Ashley Cole, so if people want your books, they can go to Amazon, right?
Yes, they can.
Excellent. Ashley, it was a delight meeting you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, you got to love the enthusiasm of Ashley Cole. I mean, she really does have the stuff of, you could take these novels, the ones that she's writing, and her big dream of making it into some kind of a movie. I can see it because I see shades of what I think is interesting and would be interesting, not just to women, but I think to men too, because the storyline is so rich. And the fact that, as she said, she really, really flushes out the characters, gives you that background, gets you interested in them. And that's the key to a good novel. You know, we want to know the people in the novel, especially if you're continuing on and there's another book and there's another book after that. I mean, that is part of the secret, and that's what we like. We like to have that continuation. So thanks to Ashley for coming on, and thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.